The decomposition of the metric, and we saw how we write down a projection operator.
So let me write down here.
So the projection operator was P alpha beta equal to delta alpha beta plus N alpha N beta, and the spatial metric, which we denote as G alpha beta, gamma alpha beta, or Barden will denote as HAB or H alpha beta, is G alpha beta, N alpha and beta. And actually, I think like I didn't tell you correctly. There was some question and I missed the question. So this is the definition of this is the so we have to project the four metric, let us say G mu nu, and each index has to be projected. So given any tensor, so if you have a second rank tensor, you have to project each index to get to the tensor on the hypersurface. Okay, so you can check that if you plug in these two quantities for this definition into and act into G mu nu, you will get this identity that the spatial metric is related to the space-time metric in this way. Then we also discussed what is the extrinsic curvature, and the extrinsic curvature K mu nu, which measures how the normal is propagated on the hypersurface, can be written in this form. So this is a covariant derivative, so I can think of this quantity, this whole quantity, as a projection of the covariant derivative on the hypersurface. Okay, so I can write down, I will use this, so some books write down this as D, where D is the covariant derivative on the hypersurface, and it is compatible with the spatial metric. Okay, so the as we know that if we have a space-time metric, then its covariant derivative is zero, right? G mu is zero. So similarly, you can write down a covariant derivative for the spatial metric, which is compatible with it. Okay, so we can call this d mu and nu, but this has to be remembered. This is d mu defined like this. This is not some other d mu. Okay, so we can do the same, all the things which we know in the space time on the spatial metric. So now what I want to show you is, so what we are going to do today is to derive some of the equations which we are going to need to derive the constraints and the dynamical equations, which we'll do tomorrow. So today we'll do some calculations, and some of those calculations are not done in most of the textbooks, which are the Gauss-Kodachi equations. People just state them, that these are these, and because the calculations are also slightly lengthy. Okay, so what we want to show now is that the extrinsic curvature can be written down as the Lie derivative of the spatial metric gamma mu nu, or G3 mu nu, whatever it is. And where this, I will explain you what we mean by this symbol, which is essentially the Lie derivative along the normal. So some books also write it as N vector, but what we have to understand is that we have this vector field given by the normal, n mu, and we are taking Lie derivative along it. Okay? So what is a Lie derivative? So do everyone know, or shall we just recap it a little bit? Okay? I'll just go through extremely what, I'll just tell you what it is. I'll not give you the detailed theory of it. So suppose we are given a vector field, x mu, or n mu, let us say x mu, And we do a coordinate transformation to this x mu. It becomes x prime mu, where x prime mu is x mu plus some epsilon. Well, this is not the epsilon in the Bartin, so this is some other epsilon, a small parameter. Okay, some epsilon, let us call it small epsilon, x mu. So we are making an infinitesimal coordinate transformation. Okay, so suppose now you are given a tensor, let us say some tensor T, I'm suppressing the indices, evaluated at x, some, so it's like g mu nu x. Okay, then this tensor will go to some t prime and x prime under this coordinate transformation. Okay, so what Lie derivative measures is the change in this. So the Lie derivative along the vector field x of the tensor field t is essentially limit epsilon going to 0, 1 over epsilon it is physically this quantity. So given it, so you are given some space-time coordinates and a tensor on it, you do a coordinate transformation and Lie derivative essentially measures how does this tensor changes when we are doing this. So this is just like a small detour, so let us write down the Lie derivative. This is the, what we are going to need. So Lie derivative x of this tensor t with indices mu nu, let us put back the indices here, is formally given as t mu nu covariant derivative alpha. So I'll use semicolon and also the nabla for the same things. So this is covariant derivative. If there is only comma, it's a partial derivative. Plus t alpha nu x alpha mu plus t mu alpha x alpha nu. So you can look at any differential geometry book which will give you the detailed derivation of this. We are not doing that derivation here. We'll just use this result. That the Lie derivative, yes.
In the change of coordinates, you use x both as the coordinate and the vector in which you're changing. So you're
yeah, so, no. So think of x mu as a, think of x as components of x mu. Okay? So, for example, like we have this x mu, right? So we can look, think of it like as t and xi.
Yes, my main trouble is that the transformation you wrote is just a dilation by a factor of this x. So,
well, this x is not referring to, okay, this x doesn't mean exactly the same x here.
So when you write x mu plus epsilon x mu, the second epsilon is different from the first?
This one?
Yes.
No, this is same as this. This is the same as, or maybe okay, what is the confusion which you have?
Well, writing x prime mu equals x mu plus epsilon x mu.
Yeah.
How many corresponds to the dilation?
Yeah, maybe you
by 1 plus epsilon.
Yeah, I think yeah, maybe you are right. So this is some other, this has to be, yeah, this is not the same x mu. This is some other vector, probably, psi mu.
And then you're taking the Lie derivative with respect to psi.
Yeah. Okay, but let us not worry about it. So what we are going to need is just this definition. Like, I don't know, like, maybe this is... not right. But anyway, like, this is what we need. So let us evaluate Lie derivative along n of gamma mu nu. Okay? So we are going to use this expression to evaluate this. So this will be, by this definition, will be n alpha . So I'm just putting, so instead of t mu nu, we have gamma mu nu, and instead of the semicolon, I'm just putting the covariant derivative now. So now we are going to use the definitions of what is gamma mu nu and what is the contraction of n mu with that. Okay, so we will get, so the first expression, we are going to use this fact that gamma mu nu can be written in terms of the space-time metric. So this will be g mu nu plus n mu plus gamma mu alpha, and the same thing, del nu n alpha plus gamma nu alpha, gamma nu alpha, del mu n alpha. And then we know that the covariant derivative acting on the space-time metric is 0. So the only quantity which we get is this one. So we get n alpha, del alpha, n mu, and plus these quantities which we have. And for these quantities, we again write gamma mu alpha in the same way. Okay. And then we are going to get some more quantities, and let us write. Okay, so let us look at this quantity. So is everyone following this derivation so far? What we are doing? Okay, so let us look at this quantity. So this quantity is n mu, n alpha, del nu, n alpha. And my claim is that this quantity is 0. Okay, you can do it in the exercise, but the proof is extremely simple, and that is because this quantity is 0. Okay, because this is the contraction of n alpha with the covariant derivative of n alpha. Okay, similarly, this quantity is 0. Okay, is it clear, or shall I give a small proof of it? It is very simple. Okay, let me explain it. Basically, the idea is that we have this thing. Let us say sum n mu, del nu, n mu. And now I can raise and lower these indices here. Write it in this form. And then I can write, the point is that this can be written as half of del nu, n mu, okay? And this is minus 1, so this is 0. You can check this, that this is can be written in this form very easily. Okay, so we have now three terms in the Lie derivative. So we have one full term, this. Then we have an action of g mu alpha on del nu n alpha, and then the action of g nu alpha on del mu n alpha. So let us write down these terms, and let us expand first term. So first term can be expanded as n alpha, n mu, del alpha, n nu, the covariant derivative acts on this, plus n alpha, n nu, del alpha, n mu. And then we have the other two terms. And when g mu alpha acts on this, it brings the alpha down to mu. So we get two terms, del nu, n mu, plus del mu, n mu. Okay, clear? Okay. Good. So if there is any, I think you should follow it, because if there is, I may have made some index mistake or something, and that it will screw the whole derivation. Okay, so we should be careful. So do along with me. At least one or two of you should do along with me.
Both the alphas in the second term are below,
does that matter? Okay, good. I generally make this mistake. So which term?
The second term. The second term.
This?
The last half.
Yeah, the last half.
Why don't you come and show which term? Oh, okay, this is trivial.
Yeah, it's up.
Okay.
Since you asked us before.
Yeah, good. But this is okay. This doesn't change the derivation. It is understood like one of the alphas is up. That is like the old age problem. Okay, so let us go ahead. So now we have this form of the things, okay? And now I'm going to use, again, that identity. So let us write down that very crucial identity for us. But now I'm going to use in a different way. I'm going to say that n mu, n nu is gamma mu nu minus g mu nu. Okay? I'm just playing around with the equations. So I'm going to use it here, and I'm going to use it here. So what we get is gamma alpha mu minus g alpha mu from this term acting on delta alpha n nu, and then we will get gamma alpha mu minus g alpha nu acting on delta alpha n mu, and then these two terms which we have. So let us keep these two terms. So we have plus del nu n mu plus del mu n mu. Okay, so let us erase all this. Okay, so we have that. Now we are going to write. Okay, so let me go in this direction. So now we are going to get the first term as gamma alpha mu delta alpha n nu, the first term, gamma acting on this, then this acts on this, and I can replace alpha with mu. So I will get minus del mu n nu. The second term will be similarly gamma alpha nu delta alpha n mu. Sorry, the third term from that gamma. Then the fourth term will be minus of del nu n mu. And then we have the two other terms, del nu n mu plus del mu n nu. And they cancel with this. This cancels with this, and this cancels with this. So what we get from here, after this small calculation, is gamma alpha mu delta alpha n nu minus, oh sorry, plus, there is a plus here, plus gamma alpha nu delta alpha n mu. Okay. So now I'm going to use again this identity. I don't know, I think like I have done in a very complicated way. Maybe some of you can do it in fewer lines. It's using the same equation again and again. Okay? So now I'm going to use the same identity which was here and write it as g alpha mu this is the k mu nu. Yes, it is anyway k mu nu, right? So it is clear. So this is equal to minus of k mu nu minus of k nu mu, or it is minus of 2 times k mu nu. This you can see from the definition of k mu nu. So what we prove is that k mu nu is minus half Lee derivative of with respect to the normal of the gamma mu nu. So you can use this identity again here. You'll get 4 terms. You can combine 2 terms each to get k mu nu and k nu mu with a negative sign. Okay? Okay, so where is game union? Okay, so let me just write down what was game union. So we know that game union was minus P alpha mu del alpha n nu, and when we wrote down the projection and we acted on this, we got minus of del mu n nu plus n mu n alpha del alpha n nu. So when you write down gamma alpha mu in terms of g mu nu plus n alpha n mu and act and just write in four terms, combine two terms each, you'll get this answer. Okay? Okay, so let us go ahead. So now I want to derive equation number 6 of Bardeen's paper. So if you have Bardeen's paper, please see. So as you can see, like we are, like you may feel like we are already somewhat there, because in his equation 6 he has on the right hand side Kij, which is our K mu nu, because K mu nu is completely spatial, and the Lie derivative of gamma is what his gamma is Hij, and if we'll expand Lie derivative we'll get Hij comma 0. Okay, but we have to do slightly more work to do that. So let us do it. So before I derive that equation, I want to introduce a general time like vector T mu. Okay? And this T mu is defined as lapse times the covariant, or times the normal vector N mu plus the shift N mu. So this is a time, general time like vector. And N mu, so let us see what is N mu. So this N mu, if you have done the tutorial yesterday, is minus NIN. These are its components. So this is the zeroth component. This is 1, 2, 3. And N mu is a shift vector, is 0, NI. So this is some general time-like vector we are defining now. Okay, we are not restricting ourselves to the Lie derivative of the normal. We want to go to the Lie derivative of this time-like vector, and that will give us the Lie derivative with respect to the flow T rather than the flow N, and then we'll get that equation, because in that equation, as you see, we have Hij 0, where 0 refers to time, not the normal. So this is a general time-like vector, and now the properties of this vector are very nice. You can check. So this you can check in the exercise today, that Ti is 0 and T0 is 1. So it is really like the time flow which we have, which we need. Okay? This you can check by just plugging in these quantities. So now the other thing which we need is that from the properties of the Lie derivative, if the Lie derivative, if I write down, let us say, if I'm looking at some Lie derivative with respect to the flow N of gamma mu nu, and if I want to understand what is the Lie derivative by multiplying some scalar phi to this, this phi has nothing to do with our phi later on in the perturbation. This is some scalar phi. Okay, I want to understand what is, so I, if I know the Lie derivative with respect to N, then the Lie derivative with respect to some scalar phi multiplying N, gamma mu nu, you can check this by going through this calculation again by multiplying phi everywhere. It will just filter out from everything. This quantity is phi times Lie derivative of N gamma mu nu. Okay, this is very straightforward to say. Like, just think of your n alpha being rescaled as phi times n alpha, and phi will just drop out from every equation, and then you will just get phi times that. Okay, this is simple. Okay, so, but we are going to use this to see something else. So what we are, so I'm going to use this property here to write down this equation again. And I'll call my phi lapse. I'll multiply, because my lapse is a scalar, I want to ask that lapse n times n gamma mu nu is actually n n gamma mu nu. Okay? So I know what is ln gamma mu nu. So this tells me that k mu nu can be written down as minus 1 over 2n gamma mu nu. Okay? I'm just rescaling my n using this property. Yeah. Sorry?
N is not a constant.
Yeah. But this n is a scalar. Okay?
Yeah, but it was going to have derivatives.
Well, actually, you can work out and see, like, it will filter out.
It just.
Yeah, this is the property of the scalars, of the Lie derivatives. Okay, so if you are given Lie derivative with respect to some vector field n, and if you multiply the scalar with this vector field, then this is identity. Okay? Okay. So now we know what is nn. Nn is this quantity, which is here. So this is our vector field. So I can rewrite this n, this Lie derivative. This is again by the properties of the Lie derivative, that it is Lie derivative of t minus Lie derivative with respect to the shift ni gamma mu nu, where I've used this equation now. Okay? Okay, so this is something which we will need later on in the one of the derivations. So what we prove, assuming this is true, which is actually true, that Lie derivative with respect to t of gamma mu nu is Lie derivative with respect to the shift gamma mu nu minus 2n k mu nu. This we'll need to prove Gauss-Kodaichi equations later. Okay, so let us now go to Bardeen's equation. So I'm going to write down in the notation of Bardeen. So he defines as Kij, his extrinsic curvature. And Kij from that projection of the covariant derivative can be written down as dj of ni, where this dj is the covariant derivative on the hypersurface. Okay? And now you can expand this dj. So you know the action of covariant derivative. You can write down covariant derivative as the partial derivative and the Christoffel. Right? Do everyone know? So similarly, we can write down this dj as the partial derivative and the Christoffels on the hypersurface. And the answer, and if you do that, and if you use the property of ni, then my claim is that this is just minus the Christoffel minus gamma ij 0 and n 0. And now you can find the Christoffel symbol. And what you get is just n. You can just do this derivation. You can fill in the steps here. And what you'll get is minus 1 over n squared of minus n I j minus n j I minus gamma, minus h I j 0. So you have to find the Christoffel symbol in terms of n and ni and so on. And then you get this result. Minus of nk by n square. And then you will get hik j plus hjk I minus hijk. So you have to compute the covariant derivative and write in terms of the Christoffel, compute the Christoffel, and you will get this expression. And then you can write down this expression as the final result, which you will get from Kij by doing this, by computing this covariant derivative, is minus 1 over 2n n I j plus n j I. Actually, let me write down a bar here. I will explain you what is bar. N j I plus h I j 0. So here this bar refers to the covariant derivative on the hypersurface. It is like di. Okay, I'm not writing. This is what I want to say, is that this is just dj and I. Okay, instead of the semicolon, which refers to the covariant derivative on the spacetime, this bar refers to the covariant derivative on the hypersurface. Okay, so now you can use from here, you can again use the fact that n alpha in Bardeen's notation is h alpha beta n alpha, n beta is h alpha beta n alpha, and that n alpha bar beta is h alpha beta n beta bar and h alpha gamma is gamma gamma, plus you will get the other term, which is h alpha gamma bar beta n gamma. So I'm just using here this to compute this. What is this? Okay, and this term is zero, because the covariant derivative, the spatial covariant derivative's action on the spatial metric is zero by definition of the covariant derivative on the hypersurface. So essentially the point is that this is equal to this. This is true. So you can use this now back here, and you can plug everything, and the end result which you will get is the Bardeen's equation. You'll have to expand it again. Okay, so let me explain it again. So we started with Kij. This is the definition. You plug in dj here. You'll get only this as the surviving Christoffel. Compute the Christoffel. You'll get some expression. From there we get this. And essentially this is the answer from here itself. Most of the, like in the Bardeen's original paper of 1980, he gives this as the expression. And then you can recast in the way Bardeen has done by using the covariant n, and then you will get this answer. Okay. But essentially, this statement is the same as what is the relation of Kij with the derivative of the spatial metric. This was with respect to the normal. What we did in this step was to write it in terms of time, the time flow. Okay, I think like we are going slow. But I have anyway skipped some steps, so I think we have to decide, shall I skip steps or you want most of the steps on the board? With this speed, we'll not cover much. Okay. So shall I skip some steps and then you can prove in the tutorials? Okay. Okay. So maybe what I'll do is I can give you most of the steps, and then I can tell you that this can be done and you can check it. Okay? Okay, so let us now derive one equation which is not often derived in the books. It is called Gauss equation or Gauss-Kodaichi equations. Okay, so let us do this.
So let us derive Gauss equation, which is also called Gauss. Both of these equations are called Gauss-Kodaichi equations
in most of the books. So for this, we first recall that the space-time tensor R alpha beta mu nu. What is actually the definition of the space-time tensor in terms of the geometrical quantities? When it acts on some vector field omega, is basically this quantity. This is the differential geometric definition of space-time tensor. Instead of writing in terms of the metric, this is what we mean when we actually compute a space, actually compute the curvature. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. It is mu.
Good.
Where this mu, okay, so where so we'll take this gamma mu as normal to n mu. And then one can prove using delta mu gamma nu n nu that this is equal to 0, because this is anyway 0. So since this is 0, this would imply to us that n nu delta mu omega nu is minus omega nu delta mu n nu. We will use this now, like somewhere in one of the expressions. So now we want to obtain, so this is in the full space time, but we now want to obtain a projected version of this equation. So what I mean by that is that I want to write down, let us start from the left hand side. I want to write down the projection operators P gamma alpha, P delta beta, P sigma nu, acting on that. So this will be some delta gamma, delta delta, minus delta delta, delta gamma, omega sigma. This is equal to, so I'm projecting this side and I'm going to project this side. This is equal to P gamma alpha, P delta beta, P sigma gamma, R gamma delta sigma mu, omega mu. Okay? And since these two indices are just contracted, I'll put this up and put this down. So we want to compute, the aim is to relate the space-time Riemann tensor with the spatial Riemann tensor. Okay? So we have seen like how to relate the space-time metric with the metric on the hypersurface. We have seen how its variation gives us the extrinsic curvature, which is a spatial object. Now we want to find out, given a space-time curvature, how do I find out the intrinsic curvature on the hypersurface? So for that, I have to project this equation on the hypersurface itself. Okay? That is the aim. Okay, so now let me write a result which you guys can prove in the tutorial. So if you are not able to do some exercise within the, yes.
So the one at the top, just the definition of the
R. It's a definition.
Okay.
That's a definition of curvature in the gauge theories also. Okay? That is what we mean by curvature, and we can derive the expression which we learn in GR from here, using the covariant derivatives and so on. Okay, so let us use a what do we need to compute? We need to compute the projection of these on the covariant derivative of W. So let us write down P mu alpha, P nu beta, covariant derivative alpha, omega beta. Let us compute this quantity. And now you can plug in. Okay, so let us go step by step. So we have to compute this. In order to compute this, we need to compute various small equations. We need to know what is action of the projection operator on this quantity, for example. Okay, so we are first going to compute that. So when this acts on this, we will have this, all these quantities, n mu, n alpha, and similarly delta, and I'm suppressing indices here, acting on del alpha omega beta. That is right, mu beta, mu beta. Okay, and then we'll get some messy expression, which is just del mu omega nu plus n mu n alpha delta alpha omega nu plus n mu n beta delta mu omega beta plus n mu n alpha, n nu, n beta, delta alpha, omega beta, which implies, which you can show. So using this, we get that d alpha, d beta, omega mu, which is this quantity, it is just p sigma alpha delta sigma p gamma beta p nu mu delta gamma omega nu. Okay, so now the exercise I want to give you is, that use the definition of k mu nu with this, and we can prove that d alpha d beta omega mu is p sigma alpha p gamma beta p nu mu delta sigma delta gamma omega nu minus k alpha mu k
beta nu omega nu.
Like this is just algebra. What we have done is just algebra. We have just computed the projection of this on the covariant derivative omega sigma, and then we have just used the definition of the projection and computed this. And now you can use the definition of k mu nu in terms of the projection, and you can show that this is true. Okay? Okay, so once we have this expression, then I can rewrite it as changing the indices and, well, I don't need to change the indices here. So p changing, bringing this on this side, is p sigma p gamma beta p nu mu delta sigma delta gamma omega nu equal to d alpha d beta omega mu plus k alpha mu k beta nu omega nu. And now actually what we have computed is that is this term like this. So this is what we wanted to compute. This is the Riemann curvature on the hypersurface. We wanted to compute the projection on this, and this is what is the answer for each term. Okay? Like it is slightly messy calculation, but one cannot help much here. So this is the answer. And now we just have to add two terms. We have to rewrite for this term, which is exactly same by changing the indices. Combine the terms and we'll get the answer. That is the point. So let us do that. So the claim is that So we have p beta gamma on the, sorry, you have a question?
Can I see the last component of the equation before the last one?
Yeah.
The last component.
Is omega nu?
Yeah, can I see?
Why, you have to actually show this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
This is beta. This is beta. Oh, sorry. This is my perennial mistake. I'm sorry. Okay, you have to fix this. So, so these alpha betas have to be up, and also here, I think that is what is the confusion. Okay. So what you should do is, this is correct. Follow this with alpha beta at the proper place. I have reversed them. Very good. Thank you. So you have to do this again with alpha beta at the proper place. You just have to reverse them. Like it is just. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Can we, like, we could make it true in general, right? By replacing, instead of writing the equations we have it, we can write, in our last class, we wrote perpendicular r, for example, to show r with the projection applied to every input, every slot. So could we write it perpendicular r in parentheses omega nu is equal to perpendicular of the right hand side?
Actually, that is what we are trying to do.
Okay.
That is what we are computing. Okay. So, what I want to say is that when you fix this alpha beta, this is true. and this is also true. There is no alpha beta problem here as far as I can see. So this should be alpha, from where is this mistake coming? Okay, so this should be, yeah. So the alpha should be up, alpha beta should be up, mu nu should be down, and similarly on this side. Okay, let us find out where we are. So we have the right-hand side of this box equation, let us write it, is p mu sigma, p nu delta, and yeah, is r alpha beta mu nu omega alpha. Okay, is p beta gamma p mu sigma p nu delta is delta nu delta mu. I'm just changing the indices now. Omega beta. So let us see, we are replacing gamma and delta by nu and mu, and we have replaced gamma delta by mu nu and okay. So this quantity can be written down as using this equation, which we have shown as d delta d sigma minus d sigma d delta of omega gamma. You have to go through the steps to see how indices come about. But the steps are very minor, like maybe one or two, and you have to redefine the indices again. Minus k sigma gamma, k delta beta, omega beta. So we are just, so we have this equation which is identical to this equation, and we are just using the action of the projection, three projections on this quantity, del nu, del mu, omega beta, and del nu, omega beta. And then we are using this equation, which tells us what is the action of the two covariant derivatives on the hypersurface in terms of the two covariant derivatives in the space-time and the extrinsic curvature. Yeah. Yeah, because you can use the identities of the Riemann curvature, okay? Of the first, you can switch the first, second pair, and then you can change the one and three again. Okay. So, where are we? So let us rewrite this equation. So we have, okay, so what is this quantity? This quantity is very similar to this quantity, which we have written here. This was the Riemann curvature for the full space-time in terms of the covariant derivatives on the space-time. These are the covariant derivatives on the hypersurface, so they have to be equal to the Riemann curvature on the hypersurface. Okay? So once we have this, then we get R. This is what we needed, delta sigma, gamma alpha, omega alpha, and then we can rewrite this thing as plus k gamma delta k sigma alpha omega alpha minus k sigma gamma k delta alpha omega alpha. Okay, so now you can show that we already have the result, but we don't have in terms of the quantities which are free of omega. So we have this omega hanging around, which we have to take care of. But this is, anyway, one form of the Gauss equation which we need, which is, if you are given this vector field omega, and if I contract it with the four space-time curvature, if I project this whole quantity, then I get the action of this omega with the three space-time curvature and the extrinsic curvature. Okay, but now you can also get rid of omega alpha by using the fact that omega alpha, this omega alpha, I can write down as some p alpha epsilon, where this epsilon is not a small parameter, it's an index, because I've ran out of indices here. I always make this mistake. And since, so the claim is that this is just delta alpha, delta epsilon alpha, omega epsilon. Because omega vanishes with, omega is orthogonal to the normal. So if I take the projection, I'll have a Kronecker delta and two normals, and normal will kill the omega, so I'll only get Kronecker delta left here. So I can use this here, and once I finally use it here, I get the final Gauss equation, or the Gauss-Kodachi first equation, which is P lambda mu, P gamma beta, P delta alpha, R delta gamma lambda sigma is R alpha beta mu nu plus K mu alpha K beta nu minus K beta mu K alpha nu. This is the Gauss-Kodachi first equation, or Gauss equation. Yeah.
So we, the lower Bach equation on the right hand side, we first proved that and then used that to prove the Gauss-Kodachi.
Yeah, exactly. So let us go through it again. We started with this equation. This is the definition of the space-time curvature in terms of the covariant derivatives. So the problem we want to solve is, given somebody gives me the space-time curvature, I want to know what is the space-time curvature on the hypersurface. So what I use is that this is the definition of the space-time curvature. I'm going to project the full equation itself and find the relation between the space-time curvature and the curvature on the hypersurface. So I project the full equation. I first compute this quantity, which is the messiest part. Slowly I compute, like first I understand what is the action of these two on a particular covariant derivative. I computed that. Then from that, I know there is another projection acting on with another covariant derivative. Then I found this. So once we get this part, we know what is the projection of this on two covariant derivatives. And then we have just anti-symmetrized. Okay, so we got first equation, which is this. We anti-symmetrized, and then we rewrote this term, not as the covariant derivatives of the covariant derivative compatible with the space-time metric, but the covariant derivative d alpha compatible with the spatial metric, and we get just this answer. It's very simple in logic. One just has to sit down and do the algebra. Okay? And then once we have used this quantity, like this was our dummy vector field. We used it along the derivation, and then we removed it in the end. And then we got four projections acting on four indices of the space-time, giving us the space-time curvature on the hypersurface and the extrinsic curvature. So this is completely the projection now. Everything is spatial in this equation. Okay, so I think we have another equation left. I was hoping to finish that too, but like it will take half an hour. So this is the first Gauss-Kodachi equation. Then there is a second Gauss-Kodachi equation, which we will derive tomorrow. And using those two equations, and again doing some playing around with the equations, we'll derive the constraints and dynamical equations. Okay. So what we have done so far is Bardeen's equation 6. Where we are going is to derive equation 13, 14, and 15. To derive 13, 14, and 15, these equations are needed. That is why we are deriving them. Okay. We are not going to derive equation 11 and 12. The reason is that, well, we can derive them if we get time, but to derive them, we'll need two lectures. And I think, like, given our pace, we are already going slightly behind. Okay.